this Sunday and this rite is the celebration of the Feast of the Holy Family. And so the readings are geared towards familiar concepts and revelations. Of course, we don't have the voice nor the time to go into them all, but we see the different things that happen in relation to the family, from Hannah and Elkanah and Samuel, and also in the Gospel, what we call in the mysteries of the Rosary, the finding in the temple, the fifth joyful mystery. In addition, today we celebrate a very, very important feast, or should be very important to all of us, because it is a feast of the Holy Innocents. The Holy Innocents, those little boys, 2 years and under, whom Herod had killed. When the Magi went to see Jesus, he asked them to come back to tell him where he was and how they found him and so forth. And of course, hypocritically, as everything he did, he said, "I want to go pay homage to him as well." But in the meantime, the angel of the Lord came to them and told them, "Do not return to him. He aims to do him harm." So they went by different routes back to their own countries. Of course, we will celebrate this more fully at the Epiphany on January the 6th. And Herod was furious. He knew that they had not come back to him. It was too long for them not to be able to be back. But they had been told by the prophets and the priests of the temple and the hierarchs of the temple that the place of the birth of Christ was Bethlehem. I understand that somebody who's an authority, I won't say who or where, went around telling everybody this Christmas that Jesus was born in Nazareth. That is total absurdity and stupidity. But that's the way it is today. He was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, because he is the bread of life. The house of David, the house of Jesse, the father of David. All these things have been predicted. And it was there, not in Nazareth, that the Magi were to come to do him homage. Now, in the meantime, because of this, Joseph was told by an angel, "Take the child to Egypt." And so they left by night, in the darkness of the night. So the Holy Family left, even the supposedly poor cave at Bethlehem was dangerous for them, because Herod was coming to get them. In the meantime, when he saw that he had been duped, he ordered that all the boys, 2 years and under, were to be put to death. Only God knows how many there were. It could have been 100, it could have been 1,000. But they were all put to death. And, of course, it was a terrible, and it was prophesied. This was nothing new. In fact, the prophet Isaiah speaks of the fact that there is a loud lamentation heard in Ramah. Rachel weeps for her children because they are no more. That is, they are dead. It was all prophesied. But on this day, the 28th day of December, the Church, for many centuries, has celebrated the Feast of the Holy Innocents. In a very, very special way, in the morning Mass this morning, I offered for an end to the abominable crime of abortion. The babies are being murdered from their mother's wombs. In the first death of the innocents, their mothers did not want it. They were horrified and struck by it. In this day and age, the selfish, lascivious women who are having abortions, they want it. Because whatever it is they're doing, or they want is more important than the life of their babies. And then, of course, the governments. We will have a new government soon. And they're good, but they're not Catholic. And so we need to pray for their conversion, so that the evil, the abominable crime of abortion, first of all in this country, and then eventually throughout the whole world, will be put to an end. And then we shall see that the justice of God will reign. It is a horrible, horrible crime to kill the innocent, to kill those who have done nothing wrong to us. So Herod did it, and those today, and especially since 1973 in this country, but in other countries as well, they're doing it. And so we need to pray for an end to the abominable crime of abortion. In the meantime, we give thanks to God. And of course, here in this parish and shrine, at the High Mass on Sunday, with the ancient liturgy, the Mass of the Ages, not the fabricated Protestant Mass of Paul VI, what we are forced to celebrate this evening. The church, one, is full, and two, there are 40, 50, 60 babies, many, many babies, crying and talking and seeking to speak. And whether they can say words or not yet, they are giving praise to God. And we give praise to God for each and every one of them, these wonderful little children who are beloved to God, beloved to the church, beloved to me. And most of them, if not all, they love me and they yearn to see me. And their parents bring them to communion. They look up and they smile and they wish to touch me. What a great blessing little children, little babies are. Even the ones that are just a couple of months old, they look at me and they smile. And I smile because I give thanks to God for the gift of life. And I remind you that when I was conceived, and I wasn't supposed to be conceived, the doctors told my mother, "You need to get rid of him or it." They didn't know in those days whether I was a boy or a girl, "because you will die too." And she didn't. My uncle, who is my godfather, who was a doctor, who was in the operating room, he told me years later when I was in the seminary, he says, "You don't know this, but when you were born, your mother was, it was a cesarean section, she was under anesthesia, and the doctors spoke about cutting her tubes so that she could never have any children because it would kill her. And she woke up from the anesthesia in the operating table and she says, 'I'm Catholic, you shall not touch me.' And then she went back to sleep." The gift of life in obedience to the teachings of the church is much more important than anything else. And when we obey God, God takes care of the rest of it. This happens in everything in life. When you obey God, when you do what He commands, everything will be well. And here I am, X number of years later, and now she's gone, but she lived many years after that, and we were fine, and God took care of her. And in fact, she was to have a priest for a son. And when I had to put her in the Haven because she began to lose her memory, and they would bring other priests to bring her communion, and she would say to them, "No, my son, the father, is bringing me communion. My son, the father." And so it was, and so it is. Praise be to God, and glory be to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men of goodwill. We are continuing until Candlemas, February the 2nd. Christmas is not over. It's beginning. And so I wish you again a very happy and merry and holy Christmas. until February the 2nd. Then after that, all these wonderful things will disappear, and then we will prepare to celebrate the holy season of Lent. The reason why he came, if you notice on his crib, there is a cross. And there is a Spanish Christmas carol that says, the baby that lies in the crib is going to die on the cross. That is the reason for this season, the birth of the Messiah, the Son of God, who would offer his life for our sins. Glory be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.